tonight. And this has been on my mind, part of the prayer service. It's been weighing on me to talk about this a little bit. So tonight, I want to talk about worship. And Jenny's not here tonight, but the thing that I noticed not so long ago was we were up here and we were singing during a morning service, and we were singing the song, Praise Him, Praise Him, you know, praise. I don't know how the whole song went, but she got a little exasperated, and I can understand why, because you don't always see from our point of view from up here on stage. People were just standing in the back and motionless. And so I thought maybe we could use a primer in how to worship the Lord. And just like we were practicing here, it was pretty humorous. And so I got something, we were telling humorous stories. I don't think there's anything wrong with humor. And I pray that you will indulge me in this, but this is just a 2 minute, 39 second video on how to worship in church.
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know, anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying, you're like, I can't. I want to, Tim. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you can go out there. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. We got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite.
The circle of life.
Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five. Press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky, touchdown. There you go, there's your big three. You're set. You're a pro.
So there you go. Come Sunday morning, I'd like to see at least one of those, either hold the TV, the wide TV, you know, something like that. There's nothing, yeah, the wave offering, washing the windows, you know, that's what he calls it, but we call it a wave offering. Do all that. See, it's okay in church to express yourself in joy of the Lord. David used to dance. In fact, he got in trouble with his wife. You know, all of us do that at one point in our lives, and our other people who are in the church. We have these little things that go on. But the thing is, David got in trouble with his wife because he was dancing, because the ark was coming into town, and he was dancing away, and I guess he was dancing so much that he was basically showing himself and when he shouldn't have, and his wife got upset at that. She was a little upset at him, and But he was joyful. He was so joyful. And Jenny wanted people to praise the Lord. And she stood out one day. She said, "Come on, people, praise the Lord." And I understand. I understand where she's coming from, because we're up here singing sometimes and playing our hearts out. And we feel it. We feel it. And it's sometimes it's hard to play and also raise your hand. What did he say? The pointer, the hatchet, and the schoolroom. You could do that. So you'll see me. I'll often do the schoolroom. I like doing that. And so I like to pray and worship the Lord. And so I thought we'd do a little quick comedian primer on worship. Let's get into our scripture. Thank the Lord for his blessed word. Jesus, when he went into Samaria, it's kind of interesting because the King James Version said he must needs go into there. He had a purpose. He went there and he ended up finding this lady and at the well. I won't tell you the whole story, but they got some talking going back and forth, and finally they said some things, and it just must have taken her by surprise, because all of a sudden in John 4:19, the woman saith to him, this would be Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Oh my, she thought he was just somebody who knew something. But boy, did he know everything about her. And she said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain," and that would have been Mount Gerizim, "and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Now remember, this is all about worship. All about worship. "And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain," meaning in Samaria, "nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father." And here's the money quote, we call it sometimes. He says in verse 22, "Ye worship ye know not what." Now that, you got to understand what he's telling her when he says that. See, they had their own system of worship. They had their own place of worship. At one point, the people from Jerusalem, I think, had burnt down their temple. And I don't know if they built it back up at this point in time, but that maybe they had. "But ye worship ye know not what." It was not a God-ordained way of worship. It was not the method of worship that was instituted by God. And therefore, it was man's religion. It was something that they came up with. So he condemned basically the Samaritan mode of worship. And it was... It's really in contrast to the religious leaders today who say that all religions are good and lead to the same destination. Do you believe that? No. No way, no how. Not all religions are good, and not all of them are going to lead. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. I will acknowledge that from here until the time I can no longer say it. And who knows when that'll be. I'm talking more about if I pass away or if I'm taken out of this world. That's the only way I would acknowledge him. But he says you don't know what you're worshiping. You don't know what you're doing. And then he goes, "We know what we worship because God implemented worship and the system of worship there in Jerusalem." He implemented that a long, long time ago. And then he said, "For salvation is of the Jews." Jesus himself was Jewish. So the Samaritan method of worship was not authorized, if you want to say that word, by God. It was not authorized. It was a man's religion. So it was invented by man and carried on without the sanction of the Word of God. But then he says this. Verse 23, chapter 4 of John. "But the hour cometh," and now is, "when the true worshipers," you realize there's a lot of false worshipers out there? "The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And if you want to know what the Father's looking for, it's in the very next line. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. See, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ can worship God at any time and at any place. You don't have to be at Jerusalem. A lot of people used to save all their money and they would travel there. And at one point when they got there, they would have a sacrifice perhaps, if they had brought one with them. And guess what? It wouldn't pass inspection of the people in the temple. It wouldn't pass their inspection, but they happened to have one right here. Oh, we could sell you one. And so what they ended up doing, even they couldn't use the foreign money. They would exchange their money. So all this business was going on in the temple just because somebody, maybe for the first and only time in their life, came to Jerusalem to worship the great God of heaven and was being hindered. Was being hindered because of the people in the temple wouldn't let them come in with their sacrifice, and you had to get one of theirs, which was approved. Again, it was sanctioned by the temple people. And then exchanging the money, they would cheat them out of their money. And Jesus got so fed up. You know the story. He got so fed up. He made cords, made a whip, took cords, and he drove them out, flipped over the tables of the money changers. And he said, my house shall be what? A house of prayer. Oh, he was so the zeal, it said, has eaten me up, the scriptures say, because the house was turned into something that was not intended. And so here he's talking about there's a true method of worshiping. And if you're going to worship the Father, you got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. See, the good news today for all of us, and just like it was for Paul, when Paul was in prison, he could worship God. He did worship God. Paul and Silas, the famous, it was really kind of interesting because when Paul and Silas were arrested, I think they were beaten as well, but they were arrested. But come midnight, what did they start doing? They started singing. And when they started singing to the great God in heaven, a big earthquake came along. And all of the jails, all of the inside of the jails must have busted open because the jail keeper was going to kill himself. He was going to kill himself because to let your prisoners get away would have been a death offense anyway. So he figured it would be better to just take his own life than to have to try to account for all these prisoners being gone. Paul told him, he said, don't do yourself any harm. That was the great miracle, wasn't it? None of the prisoners got away. None of the prisoners left. But then finally he fell down at Paul's feet. What must I do to be saved? And that was the great thing about that mode of worship. Even though he was not physically, his body was not in Jerusalem, he could worship God. And folks, that's what I want to tell you tonight. We have the privilege, the awesome privilege, that no matter where we are, a den, a prison, or a field, some people worship God out in the field, on their job, anywhere, you can worship God. And He's interested in the adoration of His people, God is. And the question is, does He receive this adoration from me? Okay, I'm speaking just to me right now. Does He receive adoration from me? Is my worship acceptable in His sight? Or is it just an act? Is it just an act? See, that's the thing. God is seeking people to worship in spirit and in truth. And so I want to read this scripture, verse 24 of John chapter 4. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But you know what? The Jewish people had already reduced their worship to just a bunch of ceremonies, a bunch of rituals, traditions of men, hand washing, you know, certain certain cleansing techniques, certain things that they had to do, and they called it worship. But you know what? God was not happy with it. There's an example given in the scriptures that Jesus told them about. He said one guy was an actual Pharisee. Now, this was a rule keeper, a Pharisee, who was standing before God, held up both hands. I don't know if it was the goalpost or whatever it was, but he held up both hands and he said, I thank my God that I'm not, you know, I haven't done this, haven't done all these things. I paid tithes and, you know, haven't committed adultery and all that. And I'm not even like this old tax collector standing behind me. I'm not a bit like him. So he thinks he's God for all that. He said, the man that was back, because the tax collector would have had to have been way, way in the back. All he could do was just beat on his breast. He knew how awful, how sinful he was. All he could do was beat on his breast. He said he couldn't even look up to heaven. My, how bad he must have felt. He couldn't even look up to heaven. And all he could say was, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And do you realize Jesus said, that's the man, the tax collector, the one the Pharisee didn't want to be like? That's the man who went to his house justified. Do you want your sins to be forgiven? Do you want Jesus to come into your heart? All you have to say is be merciful to me, a sinner. And that man went down justified. So folks, we all have to reach that point to where worship brings us to a point that makes us so low. The Bible says a broken and contrite spirit he will not despise. And so he brings us so low that the best, like I said, the man couldn't even look up to heaven. He just said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God blessed him for that. So the Jewish people had reduced all their worship to outward forms and ceremonies. And they thought by adhering to the letter of the law, which they couldn't keep anyway, but they were trying and they were doing these rituals. They thought they were worshiping the Father and they thought they were doing a good job at it, but they weren't. So, but theirs was not a worship in spirit. It was just formalities. If you think about it, you can come to church, and this might be a hard concept to grasp, but you could come to church, you could sing the songs, you could listen to the sermon, and your mind can be on everything else outside. It could be on work, it could be on home, it could be on all the other things that you've got to do and get busy at, and your mind might not even be on church worship at all. At all. And that's possible. So your spirit is somewhere else. It's out there and it's not worshiping the Lord. And so what I want to show about those ceremonies, Jesus had this to say. He even quoted the book of Isaiah, but in Matthew 15, verse 8, he said, This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth. In other words, we sing the songs, we say the prayers, and he honoreth me with their lips. Oh my, but their heart is far from me. See, they're going through the motions, folks. They're going through the motions. And that's all that can be said for them, is that they're just going through the motions. They're really not worshiping the Lord. And this week, or may include last week, is the anniversary of the Apollo 11, where they landed on the moon. But before the Apollo 11 occurred, right on Christmas Eve, was the Apollo 8 mission. The Apollo 8 mission, I wish I could remember, I think it was Jim Lovell, and I forgot who the other guys were. But I was so proud when I watched this on the Discovery Channel. They circled the moon, okay, to make sure that they could circle the moon and come back. So before they were going to land on the moon, which would come at the Apollo 11 mission, the Apollo 8 mission was to simply circle the moon a couple times or so and then come back to Earth. But they worshiped God. I want to play that for you right now.
I hope that all of you back on Earth foreboding horizon, a rather dark and unappetizing looking place. We're now going over approaching one of our future landing sites selected in this smooth region to call the Sea of Tranquility. Smooth in order to make it easy for the initial landing attempt in order to preclude having to dodge mountains. Now you can see the long shadows of the lunar sunrise. Approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness.
And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day.
And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you. All of you on the good earth.
How about that? Millions, millions of people were watching the Apollo 8 mission, because this would have been the first time they circled the moon. And they used the Bible scripture on Christmas Eve to deliver the message and to acknowledge that God had created the heavens and the earth. That is worship. That is worship. So that is... See, there's no pretending, otherwise that would be hypocrisy. You could act like you're worshiping, but God would know. You could fool me, but you won't fool God. And it's not enough to just act religious. If your inward life, if there's no change in your inward life. And so, when you come to church, don't reduce it to just a set of rituals that you do. Feel free to lift your hands. Feel free to show joy in your salvation. Even David, when he had sinned and Nathan had to point it out to him, he had to ask the Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There is joy in salvation. Amen. And so, just don't reduce it to a set of rituals. God's not pleased with that. And the main thrust of this whole message tonight is that God still insists that man approach him with a broken and contrite spirit and a heart that is desirous of him for mercy and grace. May everyone be blessed. Would you please stand? If you want prayer after we close out the CD, I'll be so happy to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, thank you that there are ways to worship you that are true. And Lord, we must worship you in truth and spirit. And we know that you're looking for such. And so, Lord, I pray that our worship be acceptable in your sight. And Lord, if it ever comes a time where it isn't, I pray that you teach us. Teach us, Lord, how to worship, how to bless your holy name, how to give thanks, and Lord, how to show gratitude in all things that you do for us. And Lord, just help us in every way in our everyday life. But we ask you to go with us, Lord, so that we may live a life worthy of the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, in his authority and for his glory, amen.